People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
May I say this morning that we ought to be more excited about the BIBLE than the Los Angeles Rams or the Los Angeles Lakers or whatever your team is. There ought to be something about coming into the church house. We ought not to come in here with a bag of sunflower seeds and a Diet Coke like we're at the movie house or some kind of a sporting event, my friend. We are at the Church of the Living God, opening up divine revelation and studying it this morning.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Continuance of the Church.
All of us are aware that we are living in a nation that is rapidly turning its back on God. Schools no longer have the Ten Commandments. We hear about these things in the news, about how the name of Jesus is being set aside and the Ten Commandments are being set aside. And if you're a Bible believer and you love the name of Jesus, it grieves your heart to see that these things are taking place in our society today. All of us are witness to the fact that more and more America is turning away from God and from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, for the first time in our history, one quarter of the population of our country considers itself to be of no religion at all, 25%. And 50% of this 25% once attended church and have now left church and have stated that they no longer believe in God or Jesus Christ. Many of them went off to secular schools from Christian homes, where their habits changed, church attendance changed, they were no longer discipled, and somewhere along the line just completely left the faith. Some of you, when you were in college, thank the Lord, or just after college, accepted Christ as Savior, and now you're living for Him. But we understand today that there have been many millions of people who have turned away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and who are even embarrassed by the name of Jesus Christ. And the result of that is that last year in America, there were 6,000 churches that completely closed their doors, completely said, enough is enough. They sold the buildings. Some of the buildings are now libraries and restaurants. Some are even houses. Now, I do not bring you these statistics to create doom and gloom this morning, but sometimes in order to do your best to make something better, you've got to know where you're really at in order to begin properly. And I believe all of us need to recognize that if there's ever been a day for churches to intentionally align with the Word of God and determine to continue on for Jesus Christ, it's today. May I say to you, there is no guarantee that you'll be serving God a couple of years from now, or that this church will be preaching the gospel 10 years from now, unless we completely, unashamedly identify with Jesus Christ and His gospel and are faithful to it in this day in which we live. Amen. Now this morning, we come to a portion of Scripture that tells us about a church of the first century that not only was greatly used in the first century, but they continued for centuries beyond this, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Thessalonica was established by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. He began first at Philippi, then he moved to Thessalonica. And I find it interesting what he says in our text this morning in verse 2. He says, even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated at Philippi, and yet we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So apparently at the first stop, the Apostle Paul had some difficulty. And if you've read Acts chapter 16, you know exactly what happened to him. He went into the city of Philippi, he began preaching, and he was thrown into prison directly because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, we were shamefully entreated at Philippi, but, he says, we got up and they literally brushed themselves off and they went to the next city and they preached the same message in the same way at Thessalonica that they had preached at Philippi. May I say, some of you have tried soul winning and some of you have tried witnessing and you've tried to tell your friends and relatives about Jesus Christ and you've not been treated very well. Can I encourage you from the Apostle Paul's testimony? Don't give up, my friend, but come on to the next person and try again to tell them about Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul did. He went from Philippi to Thessalonica, and there he was bold in his God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Philippi is about 10,000 miles from Lancaster, all right? And this book was written by the Holy Spirit about 2,000 years ago. And back then, they had some great technology. They had chariots and scrolls and things of that nature. And today, we have cars and books and printing presses. But I am convinced that with all of our modern appliances, we need to revisit the first century. And we need to recognize anew and afresh, what does it take to be a church that keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe there are three characteristics that can be learned from the apostle and this church if we will be that kind of a church, a continuing church. Now notice, first of all, that this was a church with pure motives. This was a church with integrity and righteousness at the beginning. The Bible tells us in this passage, verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Now, may I remind you this morning that the world is always watching the church, and they're hoping we mess up. And may I remind you that the word church does not merely apply to what's going on at 4020 Lancaster Boulevard, but it applies to you and I individually. The world is always watching us because the moment that our life does not match the Bible, then our message is not heard as clearly. And the devil loves that when that happens. So Paul said, our exhortation, our ministry was not of guile and it was not of deceit. And I love what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. And I want you to notice this. He says, but thou, speaking to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Now listen to that verse. He says, Timothy, you have known my doctrine and you have known my manner of life. Now listen carefully. You cannot separate doctrine from manner of life because our beliefs should affect our behavior. Amen. Okay. Our beliefs should affect our behavior. So he said, you knew my doctrine, and you also knew my manner of life. And such with such conviction, we see a church that had pure motives. And so let's notice letter A, the appeal of the church. The exhortation of the church, three things are said in verse 3. It was not deceitful. It was not unclean, and he was not in guile, or just there baiting them or trying to snare them. Now, Paul had been accused of his enemies at Thessalonica that he was not truly of God and that he was maybe like the other places of worship in town. And to get an idea of or an understanding of that, we need to recognize that in the Roman world in which the Apostle Paul ministered, there were many false religions at a place like Thessalonica. They had the temple of Zeus and the temple of Apollo, and they had sometimes literally pantheons, which were houses for all the gods, whichever god you wanted to pick. And oftentimes these places were very, very wicked and hedonistic and sexually involved and financially much corruption. And Paul said, I want you to know that when we began in Thessalonica, there was no deceit, there was no uncleanness, we were morally pure in your midst, there was no guile, we did not pretend to be something that we were not. The appeal of the church was a pure appeal. They had a pure doctrine, but they had a consistent, pure lifestyle as well. And hand in hand, those things are a powerful tool for the Lord. Years ago, I had a mentor and a dear friend by the name of Dr. Curtis Hudson, and he wrote me many letters from his deathbed, and I have them in a notebook in my study. But one of them said, "I don't know how much longer I have for this world. The doctors do not hold out much hope for me. However, life and death are in the hands of the Lord, not medical science." Then he said, "I challenge you to take your place in the long line of independent Baptists who have stood for separation and soul winning." Separation and soul winning. Now, why do we often put those terms together, separation and soul winning? The reason is this, and as we endeavor to reach people with the gospel and tell people about Christ, and if we do not have a life that is without guile, if we do not have a life that is clean, then it really doesn't matter what we say at the workplace. We're hurting our witness of soul winning if we're not living a separated life. And so this morning there may be some here, and you might think, well, what's the big deal if I still party a little? Or what's the big deal if I hang out with my old friends or say some choice words now and then? The big deal is this, that when it comes time to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, if you're no different than the others at work, then your message will not be heard. And so we come to the scriptures and we see the appeal of the church. It was a genuine appeal. It was a real, genuine, without guile appeal. But notice secondly, the audience of the church. Now let's take a moment as we consider at this juncture the church with pure motives. They had an appeal that was pure, but let's see their audience. Who were they trying to please, if you will? Verse 4. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel," let me just pause there. How many of you understand that being a Christian, having a Bible, is a great privilege from God? Amen. He said, "We were allowed of God to have this." And he said, "As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Now, many churches today have as a philosophy the concept that our target and the goal, or the ones that we want to please, are the people that come to the church. And there is a point in which that can be taken correctly. For example, how many of you are thankful for padded pews this morning? Don't get too comfortable, because the other thing we're thankful for is air conditioning, and we can make it really cold in here. So, but how many of you are thankful it's cool and not hot in here, right? Those are good things. Those are good things. And we try to get people in and out of the parking lot. We want to be friendly. But fundamentally, the audience of the church is an audience of one, and his name is Jesus Christ. The goal of the church at Thessalonica was not to try to figure out how to make everybody in town, which it was a town of over 200,000 people already in the first century. It was not their goal to make 200,000 people happy. It was their goal every Sunday to please the Lord. And so it was that they came together with that idea as a church. We are here to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And by the way, it's not just me as a pastor that has that choice this morning. It's every one of you this morning have that choice this week in your life and in your work. Will you seek to please men, or will you seek to please God? And the audience of the church every day, your audience ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 20:28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers," speaking to the pastors at Ephesus. But it says this, to feed, and notice this next phrase, "the church of God." This is the church of the living God. And it is not the business of the church to try to adapt Christ to men. It is our opportunity and privilege that we as men would be adapting to Christ.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.